Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. What a great day it's already been. I just feel like I can sense the presence of the Lord in this place. We've already been ministered to, and so we're excited about that. Now it's opportunity to look into the Word of God. And so if you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Chapter 5 through chapter 7 is the Sermon on the Mount, and what a tremendous passage of Scripture and studying all of that. There's so much there. But as we come to the end of this Sermon on the Mount, this is something that the Lord gives to us in verse 13 and 14. Chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Verse 13 and verse 14. The Bible says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you again today, we thank you for what we've already experienced and just being in this place. Thank you for it. But now, Father, as we just open up your precious holy word, we look to this passage of Scripture here. I just pray, God, that you would give each and every one of us that insight and understanding to how you would use this to speak to each one of us. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. God speaks to the Old Testament believers in the Old Testament in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 21, verse 8, and he says this, "I set before you the way of life and the way of death." That's what Israel needed, and they were getting ready to make decisions of their lives to whether to follow God or not. And Jeremiah was used by God, and he gave them the very words of God when God would say, "I set before you the way of life and the way of death." In the book of Matthew, in chapter 7, what we've just read here in this coming toward the end of the great Sermon on the Mount, Jesus presents God's message for this New Testament church age. The Sermon on the Mount is God's will in every aspect. It is how God would have humanity to live. It's a truth that we are to look to for this New Testament church age. And this passage of Scripture in verse 13 and 14, it reveals to us that there are two ways to live life. Two ways to live life. There is the way of life, and there's the way of death. A right way and a wrong way. There is good and there is evil. There are the saved and there are the lost. The righteous and the ungodly. If you will, picture in your mind this morning a path of life. Praise the Lord, when we were born of the flesh, we have a physical life to live. Everyone has that physical life. As far as how long you have to live, only God knows that. But God's given you a physical life. And as you look at the path for your life, early on, you're going to find that this path comes into a Y. There's a direction to the left and a direction to the right. You can't go back. It's just the paths of life. And everyone individually will make a decision on either to go and take the path to the left or to take the path to the right. That's what Jesus is presenting here. You must choose. You can't be forced. It is a personal choice of a free will that God gave you, of which we will give an account for. But you will choose which direction in life you're going to go. According to God, not according to humanism, not according to man, but according to God, there are only two ways. Man would have you think that there's multiple choices and there's multiple paths. But according to God, in the Old Testament, we find that he set before them, he said, I set before you the way of life, talking to the nation of Israel, and the way of death. You will choose, and they did choose. Jesus, likewise, in the New Testament, he's presenting to us in this New Testament church age, he said, you're going to have a choice. There's only two choices, and you will choose one or the other. Now, as we look back on our lives, the question would be this morning is, what gate have I entered? What gate or opening have I entered? Where am I at in my life? Because of the choice I've made, this basic choice, which is a way of life or the way of death, a right way or wrong way, a way of good or a way of evil, to be saved or be lost, to be righteous or to be ungodly. That's the decision. These are the two paths. And you're on one of those paths today. What gate have I entered? Almighty God says to the world, look at verse 13. This is God's word. It's for all humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So God has not only given his Son, but he's also given to us his very words. Jesus was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? And he revealed to us these truths that come from God. And there's no doubt this message right here is one that God has for all humanity. And God says to the world in verse 13, enter ye in at the straight gate. That's God speaking to you. That's God, the creator of all things, speaking to the world, all humanity. And he says, enter ye, put yourself there. Whatever your name is, put it right there. Enter ye in at the straight gate. That gate does not mean that it's a opening, closing gate. That means it is an opening. It's a direction, if you will. There's two openings for life. There's only two ways that we're going to live life. According to God, there is the way that leads to life and there is a way that leads to death. There's only two ways. And Almighty God reveals to us from the very words of God in this Bible, enter ye in at the straight gate. This is what God's word says. Now, you're either going to listen to the words of God and understand that there are only two ways, or you're going to listen to the philosophies of man, you're going to listen to the religious teachings of the day, or you might even listen to your own flesh. And you might have decided, though, there's multiple different ways, and people, that's kind of narrow-minded to think there's only two ways. There's a lot of different choices, there's a lot of different ways, and in your own mind, you think, it's all right, all roads lead to heaven. But that is not what God says. You can go on with the rest of your life thinking that you have chosen one of multiple different roads and multiple different ways and multiple different religions and multiple different faiths. You can go on and live the rest of your life thinking that you're right and thinking that there are multiple ways. But when it comes down to it, God Almighty, the creator of all things, has revealed to us that there are only two ways. And God says, enter ye in at the straight gate. You see, it's Almighty God. It's just not that narrow-minded Baptist. You Baptists are so narrow-minded, you only believe there's only one way to heaven. Well, it's not the Baptist philosophy that come up with that conclusion. It's the very words of God that tell us that. You Baptists believe there's only a right and a wrong, a black or white. I'm just reading God's word. I'm just looking at the Bible, which represents God, because the Word was with God and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh to dwell among us. And the Word is right before us here today. These are the very words of an almighty God. And He's instructing us, and He tells us, as Jesus was giving us the instructions in this Sermon on the Mount for this New Testament church age, He said there's nothing any more important concerning your life that you're going to live than to realize that there's only two main choices. There's only two gates, two openings to your life. And my will for you is that you enter in at the straight gate. It's clear and it's universal. It's very clear. If you just read it, it's very clear and it's universal. It's for the whole world. The right gate to enter, listen to me, the right gate to enter, the gate that God wants you to enter is the straight gate. Now, if you would look at that word straight, it's S-T-R-A-I-T. It's not S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. There's a difference. Straight, S-T-R-A-I-T, is narrow, not broad, difficult. It's narrow. It's not broad. And because it's narrow, it's difficult. In the book of Acts in chapter 4, let me just read this to you, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but Acts in chapter 4 and verse 12, it says this: "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's no other plan of salvation. There's no other name under which you can say, "Lord, I'm following Peter. You got to let me into heaven because I'm following Peter. I'm following Paul. I'm following Apollos. I'm following whoever you might. I'm following the Old Testament law. I am doing a good. I'm being a good person. I am doing whatever it is that you would have, whatever you might think." Listen to me. The Bible says the straight gate is a narrow gate because God says there's only one way to enter in through this gate, and that is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. A narrow opening because Jesus is the only way. For He is the only one who can wash away sin. We're all sinners. We're all sinners and have no way of paying a debt for our sins on our own. And the way that God says to enter is a narrow opening because it says the only way you're going to get through here is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. A narrow opening. Periodically, we'll take some time away. We just came back a couple weeks ago. We took some time, went to Tampa, Florida. And most of you know I enjoy a recreation of golf, and that's something that I enjoy. You can't play 3 or 4 months out of the year in Indiana, most of the time anyway. And so whenever I go on vacation, vacation to me is opportunity to play some golf. And vacation to my wife is opportunity to shop all day. So we have a good relationship when it comes to vacationing. So when we get ready to fly, we've got to go check our luggage and we've got to get tickets to fly. Now, we've already got it reserved, but you got to get in line. And in order to get in line, they have these rope barriers. And these rope barriers, to me, are very narrow. Because when I go to fly, I've got my clubs in a hard case on one hand, and I've got another big luggage with her two luggages on top of that. And so I'm bound down. I've got my golf clubs, and I've got her luggage. And I'm trying to navigate to get up to the ticket counter. And it never fails. Those ropes and that way to the ticket counter are too narrow. And I try to get through there with my clubs and with all these luggage, and they won't fit. And there's no way that I'm going to leave my clubs behind. Amen. The luggage might say, my clubs are going on first. But usually what I have to do is I have to make room. That means I knock over all of the things that they have up there. And everybody's looking at me, what are you doing? I'm going to take my clubs. I'm going to get to that ticket counter, and the ropes are too narrow, but I'm going to go, and I'm going to take them with me. It never fails. Eventually, we do get there. There's more turns in those ropes than what you... I mean, I got it. I'm knocking over those all the time. The narrow way. You can't take your sin with you. No matter what kind of sins you have, listen to me, your sins will not fit through that narrow opening. The opening is there, it's just for you. You can't take anything with you through that opening. So in order for you to get through that straight gate, that narrow opening, you have to have your sins washed away. And that can only take place through the blood of Jesus Christ. When you choose that narrow gate, that means that you understand that I can't make it through that gate on my own because I am bound with sin. But Jesus Christ paid my sin debt on the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago. And when I look to Him and confess and forsake my sin, He takes and He washes through the blood. He washes those sins away. And when those sins are washed away, listen to me, I can make it through the narrow gate. But it's narrow. You can't force it open. You can't force it open. The only way you're going to make it through the narrow gate, the narrow way, is through the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the gate that Satan is trying to blind your mind to. Because when you come up to it, it's a very narrow gate. And everything's focused on this wide gate. No problem at all getting through that gate with all your sin. No problem at all getting through that with my clubs and my luggage and stuff even on my back if need be. It's wide. It's very, very wide. It's so wide that if you're not looking for the narrow gate, your mind will be focused on the wide gate and you'll never see the narrow gate. And Satan wants to blind you to the narrow gate. And he wants you to focus on the wide gate. Wow. The wrong gate is the wide gate. It's described in three words. Look at verse 13. Go back there with me. Look at verse 13. Described in three words. Enter ye in at the straight gate. God says, enter ye in. This is not the preacher preaching this. This is not the Baptist philosophy. It is not humanism. It is what Almighty God has written down. It's what Jesus Christ is telling the people of today. He said, the only way that you're going to make it into heaven, the only way that you can be saved, is you're going to have to find the narrow gate. And the only way that you're going to get to God is to go through the narrow gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now he says this is the narrow gate. Now let me tell you a little bit about the wide gate. There's only two. And Satan's going to be working very hard to blind you to the narrow gate and try to get you focused on a wide gate. The wrong gate, which is the wide gate, is described in three words. The first is wide. Very easy. No repentance necessary. No acknowledgement of your sin. You can take your sin with you. Don't have to leave anything behind. You can take whatever you want to take, however you want to live, however, whatever you want to believe. Listen to me. The gate is wide. It's an easy gate to go into. You don't have to change. If you desire to go to church, you can go as you are and you leave as you were, because there's nothing there that's really going to bring conviction into your life. There's nothing there that's going to force you to have to change. There's nothing there. You can take whatever you want in. It's a very wide, it's a very easy way to live life. That's what the Bible says. The one's a narrow way. The other's a very wide way. Now, if I'm just hiking, if I'm out on the path and I'm hiking, and there's a deer trail and then a bicycle trail over here, listen to me, I'm taking the bicycle trail. Why? Because who wants to get the briars and who wants to go through all this narrow when there's a pavement here for a bike that it's going to be easy walking? And so, humanly speaking, that's the way to choose if you're just looking for an easy way. You don't care what's right or wrong. You don't care where it's leading. It's just an easy walk. It's an easy way to live life. If you're not careful, Satan will blind you to the right way, and you'll accept the wrong path. It's wide. He says the second word that he used to describe it is it's broad. Open-minded. You can't be so narrow-minded. Come on. You have to broaden your horizons. You have to broaden your views of life. Is that right? Who's trying to get you to broaden your ways of thinking? Who's trying to get you to broaden your acceptance of lifestyles? Who do you think's trying to get you to broaden your way of thinking concerning all roads? There's more than two. There's many roads. And if you will, as long as you're sincere in what you believe, you're going to make it to heaven. Where's that coming from? It's not coming from God, because God's already told you, no, enter ye in at the straight gate. There's no other way to enter. But there is another way. There is another road. There's another way of life. It's easy. It's very broad-minded. There's no absolutes on that. Everything in this direction is up for discussion. I wish my parents would have thought that way. For some reason, my dad was very narrow-minded. It was his way, or it was, you're going to get it. Amen. I was his son, and he let me know that quite a few times when I would say, well, the kids next door get to do this, and this other friend of mine gets to do that, and he's let me know I'm not their dad. You're my son, and you will do what I tell you to do, or else. I always hated that or else thing, you know, because I knew exactly what that was, because he was so narrow-minded. Praise God. Today, I praise God that my father was that way. Yeah. One day, we'll praise God because he was narrow-minded. Yeah. Open-minded. No absolutes, you go that direction. And then the third way of describing it, look what it says here. And many there be which go in thereat. It's a very popular way. The masses are going this way. So much easier just to jump on board. Get on the bandwagon. That's the way society's going. Don't fight them. Join them. Don't fight the change in morality. Don't fight the change in whatever it is that the world wants to go and whatever they want to accept and however they want to live their lives. Don't fight it. Just jump on board. It's going to be a lot easier because it's a wide opening. It's a very broad opening. It's there's no narrow-mindedness in this. Everything's up for discussion. There are no absolutes. And everyone seems to be going that direction. You just got to join. Just got to follow the crowd. That's how God describes it. But in order to enter into the straight gate, one must turn from the wrong gate to find the straight one. You see, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, but the lost must find salvation. Because what does it say there? Look in verse 14, the end it says, and few there be that find it. It's God's will that you be saved, but you're living in a world that Satan is the prince of the power of the air. You're living in a world of humanistic philosophy. You're living in a world where Satan is going to try to blind you to the truth. He's going to try to blind you to the straight and narrow, and he's going to try to get you to accept that which is wide and that which is broad and that which is the way of most people are going. But it's the wrong way. It's the wrong way. You have to reject the wrong way in order to find the right way. As a church, we're the lighthouse. Not just Lighthouse Baptist Church. I'm telling you, the church as a whole in this New Testament church age is a lighthouse. And the light needs to be placed up on a hill. Why? So that people can find the light. And we need to go out and we need to compel them to come in. And we need to bring them in. Why? So that they can find the light. Because in the light is truth. And the truth will open up to you the straight and the narrow. It will open up to you the path that God wants you to walk in. Listen to me. It's God's will that everyone enter into the straight gates. You have to turn from the wide gate. Even after finding the right gate, praise the Lord for that. But even after finding the right gate, there's a right path that we are to follow. I think that's what's happening a lot today. There's been Christianity. There's been people that found the right gate, but they've gotten off the right path even though they've come through the right gate. Amen. Look at verse 14. Go back with me. That's what it's talking about. Now it's talking about after finding the right gate, there's a right path. Because straight is a gate. Look what it says. And narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Narrow is the way. The right path is described in two words. Did you notice that? The right path, according to the Word of God, according to the Bible, is described in two words. First of all, it's called narrow. Narrow. Difficult to maneuver through. The difficult part is not salvation. The difficult part is to continue to live the Christian life. You say, I found salvation. Praise the Lord for that. Because it didn't cost you anything. Jesus did it all. All you have to do is acknowledge the fact that that is the only plan of salvation, that you believe that Jesus died for you, and in your heart you want to receive him as your personal Lord and Savior. And because you believe that Jesus is the only way, then you have confessed with your mouth and you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart. As we confess with our mouth that we're sinners, we receive Jesus as our Savior, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. You've entered. You found the narrow way, because there's so many other plans of salvation out there, but you found the right way. You found the right opening. You've entered into salvation. Amen. But there's a difficult path after you've entered into the straight gate. Because God says it's a narrow path. Narrow is the way. Difficult to maneuver through. It's possibly a path of persecution. Because you're not going to be in the majority. And the closer you get to the end days, you're going to become more of a minority. And it's true in America today, Christianity is more of a minority than ever before. the end of times is revealing all around us here. But Jesus is speaking of that believer, that Christian's life. You're never going to be in the majority in the world. Now, praise the Lord, when we come into our sanctuary, we come into a place like this, listen to me, I think we're in the majority. There might be a few here that don't believe. There might be a few here that's lost, that have taken the wrong. But listen to me. By far, in the house of God, amen, we are the majority. And being strengthened by the majority will help us to go out as we are the minority and still take a stand for Christ. But because of that, there's going to be persecution. I think the Lord told his disciples that. They persecuted me. Mark it down. You're going to suffer persecution if you live the narrow way. Difficult to maneuver through. Possibly a path of persecution. Possibly a path of affliction. Possibly even a path of troubles. Nowhere in God's word has he promised the believer a smooth path for life. That's coming in heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. But it's not here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look there with me. I'm almost done here. Follow me. This is good stuff. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7. He describes it as the path after salvation as being narrow. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. If you're walking with God and you have confidence in your faith, listen to me, no matter what kind of trouble you find yourself in, what kind of troubles all around you, you don't have to get stressed out about it. Yeah. Why? Because he's promised never to leave you nor forsake you. And you know he's beside you. So we are troubled, yes, on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our own body. That's exactly how God would have every believer to live their life, not living for yourself, but understanding that you were saved with a purpose in mind. And as you are saved, you are here in this life to represent Jesus Christ. Amen. Stop worrying about persecution. Stop worrying about distresses and stop worrying about trouble. Focus on your faith and that walk in that narrow path. Amen. Amen. That's what Jesus is telling them. That's what this great Sermon on the Mount, that's what it's coming down to. He says, basically, there's only two ways to live life. And you will choose. Once you've chosen to go through the straight gate, listen to me, it's not over there. You have now a life to live. And the life of Christianity is not going to be the most easiest lifestyle there is. If you want an easy lifestyle, go to the wide gate. But you're not going through the right gate. Then he says, he describes it, the second word is few, there be that find it. Never going to be a worldly majority. Never will. Which should not hinder us, should not keep us from wanting to tell people. We ought to try to spread it. We ought to go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. But ultimately, few. Compared to the mass humanity on this planet Earth, few there be to find it. In closing, I want us to focus on the end of both. You choose, and he tells you a little bit about both. But what's most important, he tells you the end result of both. Verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. You go that direction, you live that kind of mindset. See how what kind of emphasis they put on family. See what kind of emphasis they put on raising children, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. See what kind of emphasis they put on what's most important in this life. The wide gate leadeth to destruction, a loss of the life that God wants you to have, the loss of peace, the loss of joy, and ultimately and most importantly, the loss of your eternal soul to a place of eternal damnation. Ultimately, if you go that direction and you choose whatever you want to choose and you turn your back on the very straight and narrow, turn your back on what God says, ultimately, that's where that lifestyle is going to take you. I'm not saying that there might be a few good years. I'm not saying that you might be able to have some pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. That lifestyle does not lead to the life that God wants you to enjoy. But when you choose the straight and you choose to walk the narrow, look what he says in verse 14. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto this life that God wants you to have. It's life. It leads unto life. I believe that's the joy of the Lord. I believe that includes a peace that passeth all understanding. But ultimately, I believe it's talking about eternal life. Life with no fear of an end. Even when you come to the end of your physical life, you don't have to fear death because, you know, when this physical body dies, because of the promises that God has made me, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And I don't die. I graduate from this life to an exceeding abundant life. And I'll live life more abundantly than what I ever could have in this life. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 10, I'll close. I am come that they might have life. I am come that the world might have the life that God wants you to have, and that they might have it more abundantly. That's why he said he came. And then he says, but the only way that you're going to have this is through the straight and narrow. That's what God says. I trust we'll listen to what God says. I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. You've come here this morning, I trust, wanting to understand more about God and the Word of God. And we have taken the passage that God has placed on our heart, and we have given you the exact truths of this passage. Let it speak to you. God knew who was going to be here before He knew you knew you were even coming. This is the message that would have been preached whether you came or not. But you are here because God wanted you to hear it. What gate have you gone through? What path is your life, the direction of your life going? There's only one straight gate, only one plan of salvation. If you don't know that you have put your faith in Jesus Christ, if you don't know that you've asked Him to forgive and cleanse you of your sin, if you don't know, if your eyes were to close today, that heaven would be your home, you need to come to this altar, let somebody take a Bible and share with you what God says you must do to be saved. If you are saved, then come. If you're not walking that narrow path, if you're not looking to live as God would have you to live, you need to come and confess that and ask God to help you to stay on that right path, which leads to life. Would you come? Make that decision before it's too late. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that you'd take the preaching of the word now. Help us to make the application. Holy Spirit of God, direct our spirits, direct our thinking. And then I pray, God, that you would give those that need to make decisions the boldness to come forward and to make whatever decision that you want them to make. Work in our midst right now, in Jesus' name. Amen.